you to turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2. Just kind of hold it there. We'll get there in a moment for our text this morning. But I wanted to preach today, continuing on in the series that we started a few weeks ago on life. Live and let live. Live and let live. I feel like sometimes we live in a world of things that are not living, that are not thriving, of dead things, of superficial things and artificial things. And I just believe that for us as God's people, we can live. We can live in this world that we're in today. We can live, we can thrive, and God wants us to live. And we've been going through the seven characteristics that a biologist, someone who studies life, used to identify something as being a living thing. And I have endeavored to take each of those seven characteristics, and we're on the third one today, take each of those characteristics and tie them to spiritual life. And so today we're going to be looking at breath or breathing. And one thing that will a biologist or even any of us with any common sense will look at something, if we see that it is breathing, we know that there is life there. But I ask us this morning, spiritually speaking, what are we breathing? What are we inhaling? What are we exhaling? And are we breathing in the goodness of God through the Holy Spirit and His presence, His breath in our lungs, as we just sang this morning? When I think of breathing, I think of air. When I think of air, I think of oxygen. And I learned something when I was studying for this sermon, I guess, that oxygen and air are not necessarily the same thing. There's some overlap, but they're not necessarily the same thing. But when I think of air, I think of maybe blowing up my tire. Towards the end of the school year, my van tire had a slow leak, and for about four or five times, I went over to the little service station in Standardsville, and I would blow up the tire, and I think of that air that would blow up the tire. Or I may think of some of those who are at the beach, these beach bums who have gone this weekend and this week, and they blow up their floaties and their big ducky and whatever they blow up and put in the pool, and I think of air going into those things. Or maybe a hot air balloon. Or maybe on these hot days that we've been enduring 100 degree weather, we think of air conditioning. Someone says a big amen, thank the Lord for air conditioning. Which my air conditioning has not been able to keep up with the heat lately. Or you may even think of airheads. Now I'm talking about the candy, not the people. But air and oxygen are not the same thing. They're two separate things. And when I looked at what air was, air is colorless, odorless, tasteless. It's a gaseous mixture that has 78% of nitrogen and the rest, about 22% of the air, is oxygen. And that struck me because we breathe in air, but what we need is the oxygen. And our bodies exhale out the rest of the air and the things we don't need, but our bodies take in and keep and absorb the oxygen. And how is it in our lives and as Christians and as we live this life, there's so much that's going into us. But I say, Holy Spirit, put a filter upon us that we would absorb into our bodies, absorb into our spiritual selves the things that we need and the oxygen, if you will, that we need in our bodies. Can I tell you that pure oxygen, if I can say it this way, that we need is the Holy Spirit of God. I still believe in God the Father. I still believe in God the Son. And I still believe in God the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is present in this world with us today. And I believe that God wants to continually allow us to inhale the presence of the Holy Spirit into our lives on a daily basis, even on an hourly basis. I found that oxygen, when it is taken into the bloodstream, that there's some components there of purification within the oxygen. Can I tell you that when we breathe in God's Holy Spirit, if I could word it that way this morning, Holy Spirit brings purifying into our lives. Can Can I just preach for a moment, and can I remind all of us that probably in some areas and in some traditions and some assemblies, maybe even going out on throughout the land today, that the Holy Spirit is not really welcome to move in their midst. Now, I'm not blasting people this morning. I say that with a heavy heart and with a heart of love, but I say it as defining reality, that every assembly of people that is happening today is not welcoming to the moving and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you would say, why, Pastor? Well, one of the reasons that we grieve the Holy Spirit, or we resist the Holy Spirit, or try to stop the Holy Spirit, quench the Holy Spirit, is because the Holy Spirit is an agent of conviction, and he brings forth a purification. And when the Holy Spirit shows up in our churches, and when the Holy Spirit shows up in our lives, he will speak to us. Come on now, this morning, he will speak to us. And he will tell us things that are right in our lives, but he'll point out things that are wrong. But I want that pure oxygen breathing in our church and breathing in our lives. And I say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in our church. You are welcome in every activity of our church and every function of our church. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, he is welcome here. And he's welcome in our lives. And what I see when oxygen takes hold in our lives, physically speaking now, oxygen coming into our bodies speeds up this thing called metabolism. You've heard of hypo and hyper. You have a higher metabolism or a lower metabolism. But oxygen, pure oxygen, assists in speeding up a metabolism, and a healthy metabolism in our bodies. There are two different scientific terms for it, but one of the terms means it builds up substances, but on the other side, the other token, it breaks down some substances. Can I preach to us this morning that even as Christians, there are times in our lives when we need the Holy Spirit, the pure oxygen of the Holy Spirit, to move in our beings, to build us up. But there are some things in our lives maybe he needs to break down. And I say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. How about you this morning? Holy Spirit, you are welcome to move in my life afresh and anew and lift me up and build me up and excite me and energize me and give me that touch that is beyond myself. I say amen and amen. But if I want this side of the moving of the Holy Spirit, I say, I also want you, Holy Spirit, to move in me in a way that maybe some things that need to be broken down. If there's some pride that needs to be cast down, if there are habits that need to be freed, I say, Holy Spirit, you are also welcome to move in me and break down the things that should not be in me. So that brings us to our series text, John 10:10. I'm preaching about life. I'm preaching about how breath brings us life. I'm preaching about how the Holy Spirit will bring life and even new life into us this morning. Our series text was John 10:10. The thief does not come to steal and to kill. Excuse me. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. Everybody say life. And that they may have it more abundantly. You may be sitting here this morning, I believe probably by no accident at all, to hear this message that your life can be a life of fullness and of abundance. God desires us to have a good life, a fruitful life, a joyful life. The thief is trying to steal, he's trying to kill, he's trying to destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life. And one of those ways is through the breath of the Holy Spirit that moves upon us. Today's text is this, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Luke writes this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I've been talking about the breath. Here we see a rushing mighty wind. We're talking about this moving of this pure oxygen of the Holy Spirit, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And then there appeared on them divided or cloven tongues, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled. Everyone say filled. Now these were Christians, these were disciples, these were people who were followers that Jesus had said, you go and tarry until I send you the promise, until I endue you with power. And they had done what Jesus had said. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They were not speaking in and of themselves, but the Holy Spirit had taken control of their very tongues and was speaking through them. Isn't that a powerful thought? I say, God, take control of me so much that what I say is what you say. What I do is what you do. The Holy Spirit had taken such control of them that they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I believe in speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Let me tell you something, speaking in other tongues, and this is not the sermon, but let me just, you won't have to pay any extra for this today. But speaking in tongues is not me deciding that I'm going to speak in tongues. No, sir, no, ma'am. Speaking in tongues is when He gives the utterance and I yield to Him. Can I get a big amen this morning? It's His gift. It's His breath in my lungs. It's His moving in my being. And then I yield and I allow Him. And it's a beautiful, beautiful experience that Jesus told them to tarry for. So I want to talk about this breath and I want to take it back. Let me take it back to the very beginning. God's breath in my lungs. We'll end up with the text. But let me just go back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And here it is. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. What separates us from the animals? It is the very breath of God that is in our being. And then it said, a man became a living soul. I'm sick and tired of seeing in articles and in school curriculums and in other places where it says mankind and other animals. I'm not an animal. I might act like an animal sometimes, but I'm not an animal. And you're not an animal. You have been created by a creator God who breathed His very breath of life into you, and you are God created and God purposed. From day one until now. You say, Pastor, even me, even after all my mistakes, even after all my failures, even after this and after that, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, even you, even now, you are God created and God purposed. And so every time I breathe, think about this, when I inhale, when I exhale, inhale, exhale, it should remind me that I have a purpose in this life. God has given me the breath of life, not for me just to occupy time, not for me to be down and defeated all the time. He has given me the breath of life to live and have purpose and have meaning. Sometimes in our lives, we lose those things. We can become, anybody ever been disillusioned? Disappointed in somebody or something? Disillusioned. You discover you thought something was going to work out this way and it didn't. You thought somebody was the one. He could be the one. And they weren't the one. Or we thought this person, surely they won't let me down. But they did. We've all become disillusioned. But we cannot allow the disillusioned part of our lives to cause us to forget that it's His breath in our lungs and we still have a purpose. Have you ever been discouraged? I would say if you're a, I can say this and get by with it here. If you're a Virginia Tech Hokie football fan, you've been discouraged. Because most of you are UVA people, And I live near tech. If you're a tech fan, you've been discouraged. But how many on real serious things have been discouraged? It's not fun to be discouraged, is it? It's not fun to be downhearted and losing enthusiasm. Have you had days? I've had days where you would rather just stay in the bed, pull the covers up, and be, you're discouraged. But on those days, we've got to remind ourselves there is a core truth. There is a foundational truth. We are God made and God breathed, and God will help us get through our discouragement. Have you ever been downhearted, sad, lonely, depressed, lost your determination? I want to remind us what Jeremiah 29:11 said. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. You mean God thinks about me? Yes, 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 he does. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. One translation says to give an expected end. That's hope. God knows our ending. God knows that we're going to get through this. And I want to tell you this morning that if you're depressed, if you're downhearted, if you're disillusioned, if you're discouraged, remind yourself who you are in God. He thinks about you. He breathes life into you. Our circumstances don't always reflect really who we are. Remind yourself this morning. So I would say it this way: what's in your lungs? What's in your lungs? Or if I were to take a CAT scan, MRI, or X-ray, or how you would check the, I should ask one of our nurses here this morning, but if I were to check and scan our physical lungs, we would see hopefully clean, clear physical lungs. But what is in our spiritual lungs this morning? Have our lungs filled up with these things that I just talked about, the downers? It's time to rejoice one more time and say, God, fill my lungs with your presence and remind me who I am. Remind me that I have a purpose. Then I'm reminded of a story over in Ezekiel. We've been in Genesis where God breathed the breath of life into man and man became a living soul. But I'm reminded of a wind and a moving in Ezekiel, a blowing on some bones. Ezekiel chapter 37 is where it is, but look there, you can see the picture on the screen, and that's a bunch of scattered bones just everywhere. And in Ezekiel chapter 37, and maybe you want to read that passage today or during the week at some point, but God told Ezekiel to go. He took him to this place, and he gave him instructions, and he had him look out over this valley of dry bones. And he started speaking to him. And let me just stop right here, and I hope that I can get this off of my heart the way that it's been on my heart, but here it goes. Many times we know the practical things that God wants us to do. Practically speaking, in this story, God wanted Ezekiel to go to a certain place and to speak certain things and do certain things. And as Christians, many times we know the ins and outs, the practical things that God wants us to do. And then God promised him that some great things were going to happen. And many times as Christians, we know the promises of God. Have you ever stood on the promises of God? You've clung to the promises of God. You've hoped for the promises that are in God's word. And I want to tell you that as we live our lives, many times we are doing the practical things and we're holding on to the promising things of God. But it is still God that gives that extra increase that we all need. Call it anointing, call it the moving of the Spirit, calling the unction of the Holy Ghost, call it the breath of God coming into us, whatever we might use to call it. As much as we try to live for God and as much as we try to stand on the promises, there are times we find ourselves with problems and situations that we ourselves are just waiting for God to move up on it for us. And here were these bones, they were scattered all over the place. And you may feel like your life is just scattered. Many of them were probably shattered. There are some things we can look in life and say, they'll never be better anymore. How in the world can they ever come back? They were separated. There's nothing worse than a separated, a dislocated bone from another bone. I've had a dislocated shoulder multiple times and it hurts terribly. They say it hurts worse than a broken bone. I don't know. But all these bones were separated. They were shattered. They were scattered. But God told Ezekiel, go and look at the bones. And then he said, begin to prophesy to the bones. Let's look at Ezekiel 37. I don't know if they can get it on the screen. Ezekiel 37, verse 5. Or actually, start back at verse 3. I'm sorry. Ezekiel 37, back at verse 3. Sorry, Amy. We're still learning this. That was my bad. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live again? And maybe you've asked yourself a question before in your life. Can this or can that live again? Can things ever live again? He said, son of man, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel answered, oh, Lord God, you know. And again, God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There are times in our Christian lives where we just have to grab the word of God and begin to claim the word of God, hold to the word of God, and that's all we can do. But that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. So many times we want someone else to give us a word from God. Now, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Don't get me wrong. And I believe in the gifts of wisdom and the gifts of knowledge. And I believe God anoints people to do those things. But if we need a word from God and we need it right now, I promise you, it's already here. It's already here in this word right here. Find it, grab it, hang on to it, stand on it. God's word will not fail you. Cling to God's word. Verse 5, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I say to us this morning, when we grab hold of God's word, when we live out God's principles and we stand waiting for God to move, I assure you that the dry bones can live again. But it's God's moving. If we go on into the rest of that chapter, and I encourage you to read it all and get the full details, but you go further into that, you see that Ezekiel did as God told him to do. He obeyed God. He spoke forth the word of God. He began to prophesy the word of God. And the wind began to blow, and the bones began to come together. If I were really into it this morning, I could sing the song thigh bone connected to the hip bone and hip bone connected to the whatever bone, yada, yada, yada bone. But the bones began to come together. But how many have lived through enough of life to know that there have been times when we can trust God and we can wait on God and all of a sudden, whether it be quickly or whether it be slowly, things start coming back together. Things start falling back into place. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you need God to put some things in order for you, turn it over to Him and wait for Him to breathe His breath of life onto your situation one more time. And then finally, this morning I wanted to talk about some wind in my hair. Wind in my hair. Now, one morning before church at Gordonsville, I went over to the Walmart at Ruckersville, and I remember walking in and the wind blowing my hair and the Lord inspiring me a whole different direction of a sermon. But that's not where I'm going with it this morning. I hate wind blowing in my hair. Anybody else? Now, this girl here just seems carefree, and she's fine with it. I don't have a whole lot of hair. I don't use hairspray or hair gel or any of that kind of thing, but I try my very best to keep it kept and keep it going and just keep it in the right place. Vanity, oh vanity, I guess. And there's nothing worse than going to some function or something and you have your hair all fixed, you open the door, you get out, and the wind starts blowing the hair. Nothing worse than that. Well, I mean, a lot of things worse than that. But here's where I'm going with that. Many times we resist the moving and the breathing of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit because we're afraid that it will mess up our little comfort zones, our way of doing things, our way of living things. Can I tell you that a Spirit-led life, did you hear that term this morning? Spirit-led life means that the Holy Spirit takes the driver's seat and we begin to follow Him and He rearranges some things in our lives. He calls us to maybe leave a full-time vocation and go full-time into ministry. Or he calls us to forsake an afternoon of leisure because the Holy Spirit is saying, no, I need you to go pray or I need you to go visit someone. Do you know what I'm saying this morning? A Spirit-led means that we're not always getting to do what we want to do. We're following Him. And it can mess up some things in our mind. And many times we can resist the blowing of the wind of the Spirit because we don't want things to get messy. We have decided it's going to be this way, this way, this way. But I want to tell you, we must commit our lives to Him. And there's no better way, there's no sweeter or more exciting life than following the Holy Spirit. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this morning before we leave this house, ask Him, which way is the wind blowing in my life? Where are you moving me? What are you telling me to do? How should I live my life? Holy Spirit, I want to be Spirit-led. But more than that, the wind blowing on the outside, you see the outside effects. You see that hair blowing in the wind. But I don't want to just come to church and feel the wind blow. I don't want to just live my life, for that matter, and just feel the wind blowing around me. Oh, come on, somebody this morning. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the wind to just blow around me. I want it in me. I want the very breath of God active inside of me, reviving me, refreshing me, convicting me if need be, guiding me. And I say, yes, Holy Spirit, breath of God, wind of God, blow in our midst, blow all around us. Holy Spirit, blow, blow, move. But more than that, let's make it personal before we leave this house. Holy Spirit, let your wind, your breath move on the inside of me. Would you stand with me this morning? Musicians, would you come and get ready this morning? Acts 17 and 25, the last part of that verse, the last part of Acts 17, 25 says, since Jesus, since God gives life, He gives breath, and He gives all things. And I want to ask you this morning, have you allowed Him to give you life? You may say this morning, I'm standing here, Pastor, and I've heard you preach about the Holy Spirit and this breath of God, this wind of God, the wind of the Spirit. But I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is drawing me this morning, and the Holy Spirit is talking to me this morning, and He's saying, I want to give you my life. I want to give you abundant life that we read about in John 10:10. Would you just bow your heads? If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you just begin to pray this morning? But I feel very prompted this morning to say to you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you've never asked Him to come into your life, you've never asked Him to forgive your sins, I want to promise you that He loves you. I want to promise you that He wants to give you life. He wants to renew purpose in your life. He wants to renew power in your life. He wants to position you as a child of God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful that one day the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And He drew my heart, He drew my life, and He said, you need to be saved. You need to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if that's you this morning, I want to tell you, you can surrender your heart and your life to God today, and He can breathe fresh life into you. Will it always be easy? No, it won't always be easy. In fact, you may have to change some very difficult things. Let me just preach. But it's worth it. It's worth it. You say, can He really set me free? Can He really change my life? I'm reminded of a scripture that says, He who the Son has made free is free indeed. Salvation is a beautiful thing. Being born again is a beautiful thing. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing you this morning, I urge you to let Jesus Christ come in. Let Him save your soul. Become a new creation in Christ Jesus. As we're praying this morning, if you need to know Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to this altar. This altar is welcome, open. You're welcome here to come, and we'll pray with you, pray for you. If you want to make an altar right where you are, if you want to ask Jesus Christ to come in and the Holy Spirit is drawing you right where you are, then I believe you can pray right where you are and you can ask Him to save your soul. But then you need to tell somebody. You need to tell somebody then that I made it right with the Lord and I'm starting on a new path with God. This is not exactly where I was going with this altar time this morning, but I just feel prompted of the Lord that maybe there's one here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ, who doesn't have this breath in their lungs that we've been preaching about. You can come and know Jesus. Anybody want to come and be saved this morning? Anybody want to turn your life over to Jesus Christ this morning? Become a new creation. All things are past. All things become new. I just sense the Holy Spirit this morning in a sweet manner, a sweet way. If you need to know Jesus Christ, I promise you this altar is always open for you. I want to say to you this morning, if you're standing here and you feel like you have lost your purpose, you've lost your bearings, you feel like those bones that have been scattered, I just want to tell you this morning, I believe God wanted me to preach to you and to tell you that He hasn't forgotten you and He wants to breathe new life into you, new life into your situation, give you a renewed hope, remind you of your purpose. And I say this morning, let the Holy Spirit remind you whose child you are. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of your purpose. Let the Holy Spirit remind you that we're going to move on together with God. And let Him breathe new life into your breath, or into your lungs. New breath into your lungs. New life into you. Don't just let the wind blow on the outside this morning, but I urge you, how long has it been since you have felt that moving of the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you? If it's been a little while, I say, Lord, breathe in me again. God, I have seen other people being blessed. God, I have seen the Holy Spirit moving and around me, but it's been a while since He's been moving and active in me. And I want to be reminded of your goodness. I want your power to move afresh and anew in me. I want to tell you, there is breath, there is hope. Just continue to pray all over this house. This altar is open for if you need to come and you want to pray or you need to accept the Lord. But let's worship together a few moments here as the Holy Spirit deals with